Well, good morning, Freedom Community Church. We're glad that you're here with us. It's 10 o'clock, so we know what that means, right? Time to start. Yeah. All right, well, we want to start our day off with worship, but before we do, we want to start with prayer, because I think that's probably the best thing that we can do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to gather here together, for giving us a place, for allowing us to be here and to be your children, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to worship you today. Pray that you would be pleased by it, and pray that we would just have hearts for worship today, Lord, that we would open up our hearts and give them to you, because I know that's truly what you desire, Lord, is our hearts. And so we pray that we would have a heart of worship today. Pray that we would just be able to forget about the distractions of the world for even just for a little while, so that we could truly focus on you. We praise you, God, and we love you, and we want to sing your praises forever. And we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, if you want to stand, feel free to stand. If you want to sit, feel free to sit. But let's sing together. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. God, you do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. Lift us up on wings like eagles. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are our everlasting God. Thank you that you never fail, you never grow weak or weary. Thank you that you love us so much. We praise you, Jesus, and we thank you for this opportunity to continue in worship and pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, like we've been doing, we're going to just continue on in worship, and we're going to do, most of the worship right up front here, but as we've been doing the last couple of weeks, we want to talk a little bit about, you know, why worship is important, and we've shared some things, and I was thinking about this earlier, that, you know, God is worthy of our worship. He's the one that created us, right? And he created us for what? For worship, to have a relationship with him and to worship him. And so just as God is our creator and we're created for worship, we want to respond to that. And so I wanted to read part of Psalm 95 that gets right at the heart of that, and it says, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountain are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Amen. So we want to continue on and just continue worshiping him as our Maker. And we are his children. We're the sheep of his pasture, and we want to respond to him in worship.
A thousand times I've failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, I'm calling your grace everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. All else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out to love you from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, sing choirs of angels, glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. All hail, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. O Jesus, forevermore be thy name adored. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Amen.
You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, you are love, on display for all to see. You are light, you are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, you are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, you are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, you are life, in you death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. The light of the world forever reign. You are more, you are more, than my words will ever say. You are Lord, you are Lord, all creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence I'm made whole. You are God, of all else I'm letting go. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. My heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing. No other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing. No other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing. No other name, Jesus, Jesus. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever.
How you guys feel about this, but I'm looking forward to getting to go home to be in heaven with the Lord. How about you? Amen. Let's sing about it. Let's sing about that.
This world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain, all this suffering. There's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace in heaven, I'm going home where the streets are golden and every chain is broken. Oh, I wanna go, oh, I wanna go home where every fear is gone. I'm in your open arms, where I belong, home. Lay down my burdens, I lay down my past. I'll run to Jesus, no turning back. Thank God Almighty, I'll be free at last. In heaven, I'm going home where the streets are golden and every chain is broken. Oh, I wanna go, oh, I wanna go home where every fear is gone. I'm in your open arms, where I belong. Blinded eyes will surely see. The dead will rise on the shores of eternity. The trump will sound and the angels will sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am going home where the streets are golden, every chain is broken. Oh, I wanna go, oh, I wanna go home where every fear is gone. I'm in your open arms, where I belong, where I belong. I'm going home. I'm on my way home. I'm going home.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that promise that we get to go home and be with you, Lord. Thank you that we get to sing about it now. Thank you that we get to walk with you and live with you, and then someday we get to be with you forever. And that starts now, and we're grateful for that, Lord. And we get to sing about it, and we get to pray and love you and worship you. And Lord, it's so undeserved, and yet, Lord, we want to accept that gift, Lord, especially as we come into this season, this time, Lord, of celebrating your birth, Lord. We want to accept that gift, Lord, that you gave us. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for this time of worship, this time of praise. And now we look forward to hearing from you through your word, Lord, that we would be changed by it. We praise you, Jesus, and thank you for this time. And pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, just a few quick announcements. First of all, good morning. It's good to see you. I'm glad you made it today. We have a few things coming up really quickly. For everybody who's watching this live, or if you go home and watch these live later, if you would like and share these, we would love for more people to come and to worship with us and share the time and the word. So please like those, share those, push a little buzzer or thumbs up or bell or whatever you've got there so that you'll get more of the messages. We have a midweek service that we're putting out, a late week service now is what I call it, because it usually comes out Friday. So you can join us for Revelation Tuesday, and then a late week message Thursday or Friday. I hope you're catching those. A lot of those I think are really relevant. Been praying through those a lot. I think they're good instruction for us today right now with all the things going on. Also, I just wanted to tell you something that Shelley had brought up. The church in El Salvador that we've partnered with, she reminded me that when we were planting this church, before we even planted it, when it was the idea, it was moving forward, that they were still traveling down there and meeting with family in El Salvador. And the pastor of the church we're working with now said, you know what, it's a very hard work to plant a church. My church will be praying for you. And so they've been praying for us all this time, and I'd forgotten about that, and now we're partnering with them. And I just want to tell you how exciting it is. I'm starting to see videos of the little things that they're putting together, the baskets, the toys, all the pieces. And again, we've so exceeded our goal that we're even to bless them more. And I think the meals doubled in the number of recipients who are going to get them because of your generosity. I just want to thank you. I'm really excited about that. And I just love how the Lord started them praying for us, and now we're getting to serve them because we're all the body of Christ. It's a blessing. And then I wanted to also remind you that on the 23rd at 6:30, we're going to have a Christmas Eve service here. If you've seen in the bulletin that it's Christmas Adam, it's because somebody's got humor and Adam came before Eve. So it's Christmas Eve Adam. Yeah, you got it. So if you read that and you're like, what do they mean? It's just cute. That's all it means. Adam came before Eve. So that'll be on the 23rd here at 6:30. I hope you'll come and join. We're just going to worship the Lord and usher in our Christmas preparation more with a heart of thanksgiving and praise for God. And then I wanted to give you an opportunity to know this Saturday coming up, we are going to be heading back to Mill City to work on a property there that, again, got burned down. So we've got a list of them building up now. We just got to finish these one at a time for these people who lost their homes and lost their possessions. Please sign up out there. There's a clipboard and a sign-up sheet out there. That way I can communicate with you and let you know if anything changes. I looked at the weather so far. It's supposed to be dry during the period of time we're there, but we will go rain or shine. We just need more bodies and more hands because there's a developing list. I mean, there's hundreds of people whose homes burned down in Mill City and Gates. So the more we get, the more blessing we can be to people out there. Please do sign up and come join us this Saturday. We'll leave at about 9:30. You'll get back at about 5:30. We provide everything you need. We just need your bodies to show up and help. And then finally, I want to remind you to participate in the men's and women's Bible studies, because I think there's a lot of good stuff going on there, a lot of communion, a lot of worship of God. I know for me, the men, we get together and we have a topic, and Eugene usually preps all the pieces that we're going to go through. He starts out in the first verse, and then as men, we're often going, and we don't get to any of the rest of it because we're already in our Bibles digging out different parts, hearing how God's talking to us. And so he does a ton of work, and God tends to just take that first verse he gives us and we move. And it's been a blessing. So I hope you'll join in those studies. All right, before we get into our study today, let's pray. And I'm going to ask you, would you stand for the time that we pray together? Again, I think this is so important. We are petitioning God on behalf of our nation, on behalf of Israel, the persecuted church, and then whoever he leads else to us. And I think this is serious stuff. Let's prep our hearts for it, shall we? Lord, we want to thank you that we can come together in this place and we can pray. Lord, and we know that you're working not by our many words, but by our simple communion with you and our petitioning you because of who you are, not because of who we are. We don't come to you because we're righteous and wonderful and therefore you should listen. We come because you're righteous and wonderful and therefore you do listen. And so we come to you, Lord, and we just lift these prayers and we want them to be an act of worship and fellowship and communion with you. And Lord, right now we want to pray for our nation. We know that there's a battle going on. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the events of yesterday and some of the things that I saw occur and got to hear about yesterday that filled my heart again with hope for where we're going as a nation. And I know it's bouncing back and forth, and I know there's so much misinformation. But Father, as we're just plugged into what you're doing, I believe, Father, you're doing a miracle in our country. And we just want to pray for our leaders right now. And we want to pray for righteousness. And Lord, I just have been impressed that throughout the word, there are also prayers against those who would do wickedly in the land, to pray against their work. And both are suitable because your word gives us that model. And so, Father, we're going to pray for our leaders now, and I know that you will speak to each one of us individually, and I hope our prayers really come from a heart of love and a desire to serve you. But, Lord, I want to pray both for those leaders that you've given us and for those who would act wickedly with the leadership roles they've been given or are trying to take. And I'm not going to be sheepish about that, Lord, because I know what the ultimate is going to be. In either way, and we really want to see revival in our nation. We want to see righteous return to our nation. We want to see our children have a legacy or a place to come to where they say our parents and our grandparents and our aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters love Jesus. And here is the place where we send out blessing to the world. So, Lord, we're going to pray for our leaders right now. And we just ask, as we're praying individually, that you would speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit and guide us. Law enforcement and all of our emergency service workers, from our hospital staff to our military to our law enforcement, to all of them, Father. We know there's tremendous strains in their life on a normal day. And in this day, they've increased tremendously. So we just want to take a moment and pray for them, Father. Pray now for the peace of Jerusalem. We want to thank you, Lord, for this new peace deal now, even with Morocco, to make another one, and for diplomatic relations to be fully restored. Again, Lord, you're doing a work there, and you are bringing peace in this area. But we know that real peace is a relationship with you. And so we're just going to pray now, Lord, as you lead us for the peace of Jerusalem. I want to pray for the persecuted church, for our brothers and sisters in all stages of persecution, all stages, Lord. Those who are being persecuted unto the taking of their life, to those who are being separated from family members because other family members act vindictively about their faith and about their stance with you, and everywhere in between. And Lord, we want to pray for a strengthening of the body of Christ, for unity in the body of Christ, which is so strong that even in trials, there's a sense, a spiritual understanding that even like we are standing here and praying, there are others praying and providing and reaching out. And God, we just ask that you would help us to be a blessing in our prayer now, in our prayer later, in our actions toward the persecuted church as we pray for them now. Pray for whoever you would lead upon our hearts right now, whoever you would bring to us, even if we've never met them, or if it's the same person we've prayed for every day for years. And we just ask that you would give us wisdom in how to pray today, Lord. Sometimes I think, Lord, we have a heart that loves a lot, and we jump in before we hear from you and how to pray. But we don't want to do that right now, Father. We want instruction from your Holy Spirit as to how we are to pray. And believing we're receiving that instruction, we just lift them up to you now, Lord. Lord, we know this is a relatively short period of time we just spent in prayer. Really short. And we could pray on any one of these subjects for a long period of time. They're all so vital. They're all so important in our lives and the lives of others. But we want to thank you, God, for the the things you've shown us now, the things we've prayed about now, the interaction with your Holy Spirit, the ability to come before you and just crawl up into your lap and sit and say, Dad, we need help. And for you to respond to us the way you do, so graciously, so loving, so caring, but also like a Papa Bear who says, man, you will not come against my children in this way. Lord, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for the way you love us. It's beyond imagination. We try, but Lord, you're just so good. And so we just want to lift up our prayers to you. We want to thank you. We want to thank you that you tell us that you store all these prayers. You write them down in a book of remembrance. And Lord, isn't that just beyond our imagination? I can hardly even imagine that you're that intimately involved with each one of us, that you desire to commune with us like this in this way. But you do, and we believe it, and we receive it. And we just want to thank you now for the blessing that we've received in just being with you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. I feel like I'm at a wedding. All right. Let's jump into the last teaching in Judges today. We're going to get through this book. And if you've been with us for the last couple ones, you realize there have been some rough patches in here, very important, yet nonetheless, they're a little tumultuous. Isn't that a great word? It's been like that. And so we're jumping in at Judges 20, verse 29 today, and we're going to finish out the book. And as we do, you're going to realize how this ties together to the last two studies. Because when we were in Judges 19, we saw this horrible incident in Gibeah. Just terrible stuff taking place there. And then after that, we saw that the 11 other tribes, not the tribe of Benjamin, come together and they go to Benjamin and they say, hey, we need you to hand over these wicked people in your town there in Gibeah, in one of your cities, that we might put an end to this sin. But Benjamin had refused. I said, no, we're not going to do that. And as a matter of fact, they go the opposite way. They call all their people from all their cities and say, hey, you know what? The other 11 tribes are coming to punish these men who did this wicked thing. And what we're going to do is we're going to go to war with them. And so they start a civil war with the other 11 tribes to protect these wicked men. And when we got into last week's study, we might have been a little bit surprised because we thought, okay, here come these 11 tribes, and they're going to go out, and they're going to take care of this. But what we saw is initially, they got beat. They got massacred, actually, because they had come to this place where instead of coming before God and seeking his counsel, they came with their plan. And they said, God, this is what we're going to do. Now you bless it. And God said, hey, you go ahead and do what you're going to do. And they got slaughtered. And then they came back and they waited upon the Lord. Because now they're saying, oh, Lord, we don't want to die. 22,000 people died. And they said, we don't want to die like this. So they came back and they slowed down a little bit. And they actually waited and wept before the Lord. But what we saw then, even in that second round of their going out, is they didn't come back all the way to the Lord. They were moving in the right direction because they had departed from the Lord, but they hadn't come back to that place of full restoration with God, because what we found in the text, and you probably know this by now, it says that everyone was doing what? What was right in their own eyes. Okay, good. We're all on page. Good. You do catch these things. This is good. So it means that all 12 of the tribes, not just Benjamin, but the other 11 who came to fix this mess and clean up this sin, all of them were at this place where they were sinning before God because none of them were listening to him. And last week, though, we concluded with a third round. So they go out and they lose 22,000. They come back, they cry, but they still aren't that place of full restoration. They go out again, lose 18,000. And then we came back to that third round where they come before the Lord, and now when they come to Shiloh, to the tabernacle, there in the tabernacle of meeting where the Ark of the Covenant was, now everyone shows up, the women, the children, the soldiers, the men, the young, the old, and they all come before the Lord and begin to cry out before the Lord. And now they begin to fast to show that they have a hunger for God more than the appetites of their flesh, which got them in all this trouble that they were in before, which was a big deal. And they make confession and communion with God. And it was beautiful. When we got to that point where all these religious things they were doing made way to actually connecting with God, to seeking him out, to hearing what he was saying, then what we found is God said, look, now go out again, and this time when you go up tomorrow, I will deliver them, the Benjamites, into your hands. And so now that's where we left off. He said, God said, now this time I am going to fight the battle. And that's where we pick up now when we're in chapter 20, verse 29. It says, then Israel sent men in ambush all around Gibeah. That's that city where all these atrocities happened. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in battle array against Gibeah, as at other times, like they had done the two previous times. Verse 31, so the children of Benjamin went out against the people, the 11 tribes, and were drawn away from the city, and they began to strike down and kill some of the people, as at other times. In other words, the way it worked out before. In the highways on which one goes up to Bethel and on the other to Gibeah, and in the field, about 30 men of Israel had died. And the children of Benjamin said, they are defeated before us as at first. But the children of Israel said, let us flee and draw them away from the city to the highways. So all the men of Israel rose from their place and put themselves in battle array against array at Baal Tamar. Then Israel's men in ambush burst forth from their position in the plain of Geba, and 10,000 select men of all Israel came against Gibeah, and the battle was fierce, but the Benjamites did not know that disaster was upon them. So I want you to see something here, and some of you have probably already made this connection. But what we saw in the first two battles was real no details. They just went out and they fought with them. But here as we read this, this battle plan sounds familiar to other battle plans that the Lord had made. So now they're fighting this battle God's way with his plan. You could simply go back if you want to Joshua 8 and you'll see almost detail per detail. But it's in multiple places where the Lord kind of gives this very specific battle plan. He tells them how to fight this war to win. And I love that because God's plans are full of knowledge of everyone's strategies, of their hearts, of their minds. He has full understanding of how people will move and their strengths and weaknesses. And this is why, if you and I have to go into battle for any reason, any kind of battle, we always want the Lord fighting for us. Amen? I want the Lord fighting for me. I want him to say, you go up, I will deliver them into your hand. Whatever that battle is, spiritual battle, a battle in the workplace, a battle amongst neighbors, and hopefully you're not out there with swords and spears with your neighbors. That's not what I'm referring to here. But whatever that kind of battle is, where there's this battle between righteousness and evil, we want the Lord fighting for us. And we covered that in great depth in last week's study. So if you weren't here, you can go back and listen to that, and you'll see the progression of those three rounds and how they finally got to the place where God would fight for them. And now we're going to get confirmation that this was the Lord's work. Verse 35, the Lord defeated Benjamin. Who defeated him? The Lord. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed that day 25,100 Benjamites, all who drew the sword. So all along the way, the Lord knew what had happened there, what the Benjamites had allowed to happen in Gibeah, that they had then come against the children of Israel. And he knew all this was going to have to come to a conclusion where he punished the sin there, because he needed to stop the sin and he needed to show his great displeasure with what they had done within these wicked men of Gibeah and defending them and their unwillingness to deal with it. So all along, this was the Lord's plan. The thing was, he just had to get his people right with him first before he could use them to do this. And that's what we saw in the three rounds last week. He was waiting for them to get their hearts right so he could use them. But they were unrepentant up to that point. Now they had come to the point of repentance and obedience. And God said, now I can send you tribes out and you can take care of this atrocity at Gibeah. And I think this is such a lesson for us. I mean, there's so many things we can get from learning about other people's mistakes and even their victories with the Lord. And this is one of these places. And you and I are so blessed with the covenant of grace. I mean, I think about that all the time. I am so glad I was not an Old Testament saint. I took communion this morning when we were all worshiping, and I went back there and took communion. I thought, a body given for us. For us. Jesus born in a manger. A body to go to the cross. A body to be resurrected. Perfect. Imperishable. A body that we will see as we come to Revelation 5 and we see the one who is worthy to open the scroll, a body, and the blood that was spilled for us. And I think, oh man, Lord, I am so grateful for the gospel of grace. I did not ever want to live under the law, and they were under the law. But even though we're so blessed with this covenant of grace, the gospel of grace, if we abuse our understanding of grace, if we think, God, I'm going to approach you, but I'm not going to take any responsibility for obedience before you, we can find ourselves in the same disaster. We can say, God, you need to bless me anyway. But you know, that's at Luke 6:46, and the Lord says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but not do the things that I say? Isn't it the same situation? It really is. And I think that we can come to the point where we say, God, you should just bless me anyway. And he says, man, I want obedience more than sacrifice, children. That's what I want from you. I want you to hear me. I want you to respond to me. I want you to come to me. And so we find that they finally got to that place, and now God could fight on their side. And I tell you what, we need God fighting on our side. And so obedience is a big piece, and that comes through communion with God. It's not the other way around. I really don't think so. We come to God. We start to fellowship and communion. We meet him where he's at. And you know what our heart wants to do? It wants to obey him. It wants to respond and worship by obedience. And you'll find that God is fighting on our side. I don't want to learn the hard way. I've done a lot of learning the hard way. Amen? And it's a terrible approach. And so we can just simply learn from what they learned and say, Lord, what we really want is real communion with you. And out of that, obedience will be fanned because it will be our heart's desire to do so. But there's more. And the question we have to ask ourselves here as we read on with how they now go out and punish the tribe of Benjamin is, should there be more? But there's more. And I hear the rest of that and be thinking about that. Should there be more? Verses 36 through 48. So we got a chunk here. So the children of Benjamin saw that they were defeated. The men of Israel had given ground to the Benjamites because they relied on the men in ambush whom they had set against Gibeah. And the men in ambush quickly rushed upon Gibeah. The men in ambush spread out and struck the whole city with the edge of the sword. Now the appointed signal between the men of Israel and the men in ambush was that they would make a great cloud of smoke rise up from the city, whereupon the men of Israel would turn in battle. Now Benjamin had begun to strike and kill about 30 of the men of Israel. For they said, surely they are defeated before us as in the first battle and in the second battle. But when the cloud began to rise from the city in a column of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind them, and there was the whole city going up in smoke to heaven. And when the men of Israel turned back, the men of Benjamin panicked, and they saw the disaster had come upon them. So this is like the destruction of Sodom. This is what I'm thinking of here. The whole city now, Gibeah, where this terrible thing had happened, man, it's going up in smoke. Instead of being a pillar of salt and fire and brimstone, it's going up in smoke because God's using his people to punishment here. Verse 42, therefore, they turned their back before the men of Israel in the direction of the wilderness, but the battle overtook them, and whoever came out of the cities, they destroyed in their midst. They surrounded the Benjamites, chased them, and easily trampled them down as far as the front of Gibeah toward the east, and 18,000 men of Benjamin fell. All these were men of valor. Then they turned and fled toward the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon, and they cut down 5,000 of them on the highways. Then they pursued them relentlessly up to Gidon, and killed 2,000 of them. So all who fell of Benjamin that day were 25,000 men who drew the sword. All these were men of valor. But 600 men turned and fled toward the wilderness to the Rock of Rimmon, and they stayed at the Rock of Rimmon for 4 months. So these are the only survivors, 600 men. Verse 48. And the men of Israel turned back against the children of Benjamin and struck them down with the edge of the sword. And here this last verse is really important. From every city, men and beasts and all who were found, they also set fire to all the cities they came to. And when you and I do the math here, when we take this whole account into piece, what we see is this is really close to annihilation of the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, they'd gone to that point where they almost wiped them out. And I have to say, is this what the Lord had called them to do? Or is this where they took the victory that the Lord had promised and they did their own add-ons to it? They added on more than what God had given them, and it brought them to this near slaughter or annihilation of this entire group of people. It would appear to me from verse 48 that's what happened. Gibeah is where the punishment was supposed to take place. Gibeah and its people there were to be wiped out like Sodom, because, you know, God takes sin like this really seriously. And he has taken an effort when he brought them into the land to purge the land of sin. But all of a sudden, they're wiping out every Benjamite city. They're wiping out all the animals, the people, everything from all these cities. And I have to say to myself, wow, I think they did more than God called them to do. Later on, they're going to admit that. We'll come back to that. They're going to admit that they went further than they were supposed to have gone. And they added on to what God had already told them to do. And I think there's always a danger of us doing the same, of taking the instruction of the Lord and adding on the parts that we have in there. Maybe out of fear, maybe out of anger, maybe out of our own issues, and we're punishing others for them. I mean, but there's this problem that we can encounter where all of a sudden we go further than the Lord intended for us to go. And it can make a mess. And that's exactly what we're going to see here throughout this account. It is going to make a real mess. And I'm so glad that none of us, again, have ever done this, so we can just, you know, wipe our head and say, I've never added to what the Lord's told me. I've never taken matters into my own hand beyond what he's given me. But seriously, there's a real danger of a tendency for some to do this more than others. As I was thinking of this, I was thinking, I know a few people who do this. I mean, the Lord says this, and they go here, plus. And the plus is always a minus, because it doesn't give what God intended. And that can be even in blessing, going further than the instruction of the Lord. And sometimes God says, man, that's not what I had, because you don't see the whole picture. You need to catch the whole picture from me. So hearing the voice of the Lord and going where he says is important. And we're going to see what a mess this adding on is going to make of the whole rest of the book of Judges to the end, which gratefully we're going to get to today. So the war is now over, but the tragedy isn't. Now we're in chapter 21, verse 1, and it says, now the men of Israel had sworn an oath at Mizpah, saying, none of us shall give his daughter to Benjamin as a wife. Then the people came to the house of God and remained there before God till evening. They lifted up their voices and wept bitterly and said, O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel that today there should be one of the tribes missing in Israel? And here's another thing that they added on. So they already added on slaughtering all of the cities, not just Gibeah, and slaughtering all the women and children and everything. I mean, they're animals and all. So they've added on to that, but now they're going to take an oath. And all of us are going, man, we've already heard this, Rob. We've caught this in the book of Judges. The oath thing is not a good idea. It's not a plan of God. He's told them not to take oaths. He said, don't do this thing. Don't take an oath with me, because I take it very seriously. And maybe you're drawn back to Jephthah, one of the judges. Remember that? He's going out to battle, and God says, you go out, and the Spirit of God came upon him so he could have the victory. And then Jephthah, as God already told him, I've given you the victory. Now go out with the Spirit and do it. And he goes out and he says, and God, if you give me this victory, whoever comes out the door of my house when I come home from the victory, I will sacrifice to you. and his daughter comes out. Do you remember that? I mean, it was this tragedy beyond tragedy. And so here they are, and so now they've added on to what God has said, and now they've taken an oath to try to clean up what they added on. So this is just compounding foolishness, right? It's compounding problems, and that's where they're at. And that's why it's so classically terrible here in this whole thing, because then they come to the point, instead of taking responsibility for wiping out more than God told them, and for now taking an oath, what do? They blame God for the bad result. I'm so glad none of us ever do that. But they blame God. They say, God, you know, why are you going to let one of the tribes? God said, I'll never let the tribes disappear. It was them who went into that particular part with their add-ons and their oaths that made this problem. And it really makes this issue of adding to God's instruction and seeing the deeper consequences something that we should really take to heart. I mean, we should really take this to heart. I love to hear of other people's accounts, especially if I learn from them and don't repeat them, unless they're glorious. This is not glorious. This is horror. This is terrible stuff going on. And you and I can learn these oaths and these add-ons. It doesn't work. But we're not done yet. If this complete slaughter and the one add-on oath that they had so far wasn't enough, they're just going to go ahead and add on another oath, because that always helps. That always helps. I'm joking. Hopefully you're getting that. Verse 4. So it was on the next morning that the people rose early and built an altar there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. The children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel who did not come up with the assembly to the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning anyone who did not come up to the Lord at Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. And the children of Israel grieved for Benjamin, their brother, and said, one tribe is cut off from us, from Israel today. What shall we do for wives for those who remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we shall not give them our daughters as wives? Before we continue, did you notice they went back to offerings because they had worked before? So they went back and they did the same two offerings they did in that third round when they came before the Lord. An offering that would give them a chance for communion and confession, a chance to get right with God. And they say, hey, that worked before. It's time to come back and do the offerings again. But here's what I want you to see. This time, they're not the same. They make the offerings, but they don't bring the heart behind the offering. And they make the offerings, but they build the altar, but they're no longer in Shiloh. They were at Shiloh the night before. Now they've traveled away from there. The altar was in Shiloh. Now they're making offerings in their own place again, which didn't work before. And they've gone back to their own plans apart from God's counsel. That's what they're doing. They just keep moving forward. And folks, again, we really want to learn from their mistake. I mean, I just want to say, this should be an amazing warning to all of us that when we come to times of revival, as we saw described there in this third round, when all the 11 tribes came, when they actually sought after God like they should have, it didn't mean that they could just simply go back to their old ways afterwards and offer religious tokens and religious activities and the religious trappings and do all those particular pieces, and they'd still end up with that same type of blessing of God's instruction and him battling for them. It didn't mean that at all. Before, they really humbled themselves. They really came to this point of submitting and worshiping and communing, and now they were just doing empty religious practices. And what do you get? An empty result. Actually, less than empty. They're going to go in the hole. And we don't want to do this. We don't want to live on yesterday's experiences. You know, some of you and me, or any of us, we've had these experiences where maybe yesterday we woke up, then we started in worship, we communed with God, we were in the Word. Everywhere we went, we talked, we communicated with Him and others about Him. I mean, it was just glorious. And the next day, nada. Like, good morning, Lord, and I'm on my way. I served you yesterday. Today is my day. Is this convicting at all? I mean, it should be, right? It really should be. It should be for all of us. And it's not that God tells us, hey, he will love us less if we don't come to this place before him. God can't love you anymore and he won't love you any less. But it does mean that sometimes our lives are a mess. We miss the communication with him. We miss the instruction. We're fumbling and bumbling around in the dark because we've chosen to be there. And all the religious things that we might do aren't going to change that. He wants to interact with us every morning. He waits for us at the gate. He says, come, sit and join with me. Hear from me. Receive counsel from me. Come, let us reason together. My mercies are new every morning. Come to me. And God says, man, I will direct your steps. You can come to me with your plan, but I will establish your actual footsteps, what we're going to do with that plan, how we're going to alter it or throw it away or bless the plan. But we've got to come, and religious activities are never going to substitute for a personal encounter with Jesus ongoing. That's what we need. That's what they didn't do. And so the mess continues, and we're going to see that. And the rest of this account will testify to their religious practices not helping them. So now they're going to act on the second oath that they took, verse 8. And they said, what one is there from the tribes of Israel who did not come up to Mizpah to the Lord? And in fact, no one had come to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. From when the people were counted, indeed, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead was there. So the congregation sent out their 12,000 of their most valiant men and commanded them, saying, go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, including the women and children. And this is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male and every woman who has known a man intimately. So they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man intimately, and they brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. So what do you do when you've blown it by acting apart from the counsel of the Lord and making your own decisions? Well, of course, you just keep going along the way, making more decisions, hoping that the past bad decisions you made will be overridden by the next decision that you make to wash the mess, right? Isn't that how it should all work? Hopefully you say, no, right? I can't help but tell you, when I was reading this and I was thinking of my own response, I thought of Becky Kroll. She's not here today, but Becky's probably watching this. And I'll tell you why, because she's an organizer. She's an excellent organizer. And if you've ever been with Becky when she's trying to put everything together and getting everybody coordinated and people start scrambling and they're deviating from the plan, Becky will just stop there and she'll go, stop! Everybody, those of you who know and you've seen that, you know what I'm talking about, stop! And I thought, man, they needed a Becky Kroll. They needed somebody like that right now, right here in this situation, because they just keep scrambling, doing the next dumb thing, trying to make it work without a plan. And they needed somebody to say, stop! We need to go to Jesus. Don't you see the mess we've made? Are you guys insane? So we're just going to go here now to these people and we're going to kill them all. And we're going to kill all their family. And then we're going to steal 400 people, you really think this is the plan of God in this thing? And what we find is God hadn't instructed them to do any of this. This is all them. But instead of stopping, instead of coming to the Lord, instead of coming in repentance, instead of getting his counsel, they slaughter more of their own people and steal their young ladies. This is brilliant, isn't it? It's brilliant. And we're going to see they're not done. But, oh, folks, don't make the same mistake. I mean, honestly, we all have made messes in this life, and we're going to make some more. And even on this side of being in a relationship with Jesus, we're not talking BC, before Christ was in our life. That's not what we're talking about. But I hope that when you and I make these kind of mistakes, when we jump out and we move without the counsel of God, and then we go, oh, man, I biffed that one, instead of coming up with another harebrained idea to cover the last harebrained idea, well, now we have big air, like TBN, I digress. Then we come to a point where it's a bigger mess and we just need to stop and say, no, I blew it, Lord, forgive me. Jesus, just forgive me. because I keep adding to the mistake after mistake, and I don't want to keep going down this path. And not only is it so easy to see from this vantage point that all their steps here are just foolish, we should also see they were totally unnecessary. And sometimes I think, well, we don't need to come to the Lord for everything. I remember, okay, I'm going to make confession. I watched a Saturday Night Live skit long, long ago. Well, so long ago, I can't even remember how old I was, but I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday either. So that might not matter. But anyway, it was this lady, and she was praying, and she was talking to Jesus about everything. And Jesus comes down, and he says, really? Do you have to ask me if it's going to be wheat or whole wheat? Are you going to really ask me if it's butter or peanut butter? I mean, pray to me about the big things, but leave me alone in the other. And the whole idea was she was praying too much. I'm going to tell you, Saturday Night Live got it wrong. We need to commune with Jesus. We need to talk with him, and we need to ask him and get instruction. And he is not irritated by our constant communion with him. He's delighted. It was so unnecessary that they were in this trouble. Because God would have gladly instructed them. He would have he wishes they would have come. They just wiped out another group of their people in their own thinking. And all the wisdom of confession and coming back and saying, Lord, I'm just going to wait on you. I blew it. Oh, God, I can't believe I did that. I really thought it would be a blessing. I thought that was the way out of this mess. I thought this is what we needed. Lord, forgive me for my stinking thinking, and would you help me clean up this mess? And the Lord says, yeah, so glad you came. They didn't do that. But now we get to the rest of the part where they didn't stop. No, they keep going. Verse 13, then the whole congregation sent word to the children of Benjamin who were at the Rock of Rimmon and announced peace to them. So Benjamin came back at that time, and they gave them the women whom they had saved alive. In other words, the ones they didn't kill here from Gilead, or from where they had just been, of the children of Jabesh Gilead, and yet they had not found enough for them. And the people grieved for Benjamin because the Lord had made a void in the tribes of Israel. And again, I have to say, who made a void? The Lord didn't make a void. This was their adding to God's instruction and now making two different oaths and almost wiping out both Benjamin and the people of Jabesh-Gilead. This is their doing. Now, on one hand, I do want to say that the people from Jabesh-Gilead should have been there. They should have been part of the people standing up against the evil that happened in Gibeah, without a doubt. And there are some people who will never stand against the evil that happens in a land. And I'm going to tell you, I hope you're not one of those. We've had a lot of trouble in this nation because there's a lot of people who know what's right, but they never stand to proclaim it. They say somebody else can fight that battle. Somebody else can deal with that thing. And I'm telling you, it's wrong. We have been told to put on the armor, and then what are we told to do? To stand. Not to sit, not to hide, but to stand. To say, no, that's wrong, you can't do that, I won't back that, no, you can't steal this election, no, you can't do it, it's wrong. I hope you get where I'm going. I don't mean to be soft-footed here. We need to stand. And this is something we have to do because the Lord told us it's our place to do so. And we have to say no. And maybe God would have dealt with them anyway in a different way, but I know that this was their doing. What they did was wrong. Yet, when they did the math, what they found out is there's still 200 wives short of the tribe of Benjamin, all having wives. But don't worry, folks, don't worry, don't panic. They have another plan. Verse 16. Then the elders of the congregation said, what shall we do for the wives of those who remain since the women of Benjamin have been destroyed? And they said, there must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin that a tribe may not be destroyed from Israel. However, we cannot give them wives from our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn an oath, there's that oath again, saying, cursed be the one who gives his wife to Benjamin. Then they said, in fact, there's a yearly feast at the of the Lord in Shiloh, which is north of Bethel on the east side of the highway that goes from Bethel to Shechem and the south of Lebanon. Sorry, I'm going to get this out. It's going to happen. Verse 20, therefore they instructed the children of Benjamin, saying, and catch this, this is great, go lie in wait in the vineyard and watch. And just when the daughters of Shiloh come out to perform their dances, then come out from the vineyards, and every man catch a wife for himself from the daughters of Shiloh, then go to the land of Benjamin. Then it shall be, when their fathers and brothers come to us and complain, that we shall say to them, be kind to them for our sakes, because we did not keep a wife for them from the war. For it is not as though you have given the women to them at this time, making yourself guilty of the oath. These guys are geniuses. I mean, it's geniuses, right? Hey, so sorry. We made a plan. We didn't consult you guys about it. We needed some extra wives. So when your daughters came out dancing to worship the Lord, we told them it was okay to kidnap them. But you don't have to freak out because you didn't break the oath. They were kidnapped. You didn't give them. So it's no problem. Situation solved. We've got the solution. And so it says now they're seeing that this whole problem is solved. So the children of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family. Then they went out from there, every man to his inheritance. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Who was the king in Israel? The Lord. They weren't listening or following him. And then it finally finishes with that famous line as we close the book. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. What a hot mess. What a disaster upon disaster upon disaster. Because they determined what was right apart from the counsel of God. Folks, we are in a battle as a nation. And I know there's a lot of people who are battling individually. They've got their own things going on. There's all kinds of stuff that there are fights taking place right now. Battles going on in families and in individual lives. As a nation, in the world, these battles are taking place. And they're heating up because I'm telling you, Antichrist is about ready to make his appearance into this world. The stage is being set. And I'm so grateful because it means I'm going home. I just want to sing the song again. Matter of fact, we will sing the song again because I am going home. You're going home. And as we are preparing for that time, the battle is intensifying. And folks, religious activities are not going to be the key to winning this battle. They're not going to be it. You can claim religion and just be out there and making your own decisions and deciding how you're going to respond apart from our relationship with God. But we weren't saved by religion. We were saved and we were brought into this religion or this relationship with God the Father and a relationship with God the Holy Spirit by the relationship we entered into with God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the relationship that matters. It's the relationship that provides instruction. It's the relationship that is a cleansing, purifying thing in us. It's the relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ that unites all of us into the body of Christ. And all these religious things, these sacrifices, substitutions, series of religious things aren't going to ever substitute or bring the blessing or give instruction or guide us home safely. It's the relationship with Jesus that we need to foster and give. And what we did yesterday with him is not going to carry us forever. We can ride on the coattails of great victories only so long. And those great victories are all in relationship. We are in a battle. It's our communion and our conversation with God that's going to provide us the confidence, the direction, and the strength that we need right now. That's what we need. That's why we're going to keep assembling. That's why we're going to keep praying. That's why we're going to keep worshiping. That's why we're going to stand, because it's the instruction we've been given. So after you've been delivered by him in times of trouble and times of your past, and you find yourself in that good place, don't turn around and go back to the old way before you humbled yourself and sought him and got instruction and he delivered you in that personal revival that you had. Amen? It's so important. I want to learn this from them because I don't want to go back to the old foolish ways. I want to press further into Jesus. if we just sum up the whole book of Judges, what do we see? The cycle of sin and the cycle of God's grace. Every time they sinned, grace abounded even more. If they came to him in relationship, in repentance, personally. And we see here in these last chapters as we're going through it, now we see this everybody doing right in their own eyes and not listening to the king who is in the land. When does it get good? When they come to him in relationship on his terms. And folks, in that place, it is glorious beyond measure. You can be like the Corinthians. Remember, Paul called them the carnal Christian church? Carnal Christian believers. And you'll still make it into heaven if you have a relationship with Jesus by trusting in him. But what we're talking about is deep, abiding communion with our God. And the Corinthians are going to make it in. And he said, some of you are going to come in smelling like smoke. I don't want to smell like smoke. I want to smell like the aroma of the Holy Spirit. And I want to come in and see Jesus face to face in that worship session and say, Lord, I'm home. Thank you, Jesus, for the victories then and for the victory forevermore because of our relationship with you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this book. We know there's a lot of instruction, and I always think of what my dad told me. You can learn something from everybody, even from some people. You can learn what not to do. And Lord, there's a lot in this book to learn of what not to do, but we've also seen some good examples of people who have stood. They have been strong. They have said, yes, Lord, use me. They have trusted in faith. They have stood in faith. And Lord, we've seen a mixture of both. God, we really want to honor you with our lives. We want to be those who just say, Lord, direct me in everything that I might bring glory to you. And Lord, we know that if we're gripping onto this life and the things of this life too tightly, trying to keep hold of things that we think we have to have, in order to be happy or to have a good retirement or a secured future, Lord, when we come to that place, we are not in the place of seeking counsel from you because we're already occupied. We've already given real estate in our hearts and our minds to something else. So, Lord, in our world, wherever we're at, whatever's going on, whatever will go on, Lord, help us just to let go of all those places that we might have latched onto too hard. And let us surrender them to you and then fill all that space with your presence, Lord. Just like fasting, that picture again, Father, where we say the flesh is not ruling. It is not what will be my Lord. You're my Lord. Guide me, lead me, help me. Help get rid of these obstacles that I might have placed in the way between us. And Lord, let me just come to a place of worship. Restore in us a heart of worship. Father, I've been thinking about that a lot. You've said that you are seeking those who would worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that comes through communing with you in relationship. And so we're just asking God you would deepen that, even as you set our hearts now to focus on you coming into the earth as the babe of Bethlehem to save us from our sin. Lord, we just love you. We're so grateful for who you are, and we really want to honor you and walk with you. We really don't want to keep going in the wrong direction if we've already gone there. We really want your counsel for us personally, for our families, for our nation, for how we're to reach our neighbors and our world. Give us your sweet counsel, God. And let it be so firm and confirmed by our loved ones who know you and by the church. Lord, we just need your direction. And we openly receive it today. And we thank you, God, for it. And while we're here, as we're just praying, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you into that relationship with him today. It's the sweetest, best thing you'll ever do. And it's an eternal decision to say, Jesus, I've sinned against you. I've gone my own way. And now I'm turning to you. I've received the fact that you came into the earth. I can't wait to celebrate Christmas with a real understanding that you came to deliver your people from sin. And you can just come into that place now and say, Lord, I've sinned and I'm turning to you. Would you forgive me? I accept you, Jesus, and what you did. And you will enter into a personal, abiding, eternal relationship with God. And when you do, I want you to know the heavens are resounding with celebration for one who would give their life to the Savior. I hope that's you today. Lord, we thank you again and we bless you and we close out now, Lord, in a time of worship. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we close out, if you need some personal prayer, we have a few people that will be over to the side ready to pray. You can just come and grab one of them. They'll walk out in the hall with you and just pray. And the rest of you, let's just join in to worship.
Well, Rob already mentioned it, but we get to go home. And some sooner than others, but we get to go home, and this world isn't our home. And so we want to sing about that again as we close out today. This world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain, all this suffering, there's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away, every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace in heaven, I'm going home where the streets are golden and every chain is broken. Lord, I wanna go, oh, I wanna go home where every fear is gone. I'm in your open arms, where I belong, home. Lay down my burdens, I lay down my past. I'll run to Jesus, no turning back. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last. In heaven, I'm going home where the streets are golden and every chain is broken. Oh, I wanna go, oh, I wanna go home where every fear is gone. I'm in your open arms, where I belong. Blinded eyes will finally see, the dead will rise on the shores of eternity. The trump will sound and the angels will sing, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am going home where the streets are golden and every chain is broken. Oh, I wanna go, oh, I wanna go home where every fear is gone. I'm in your open arms, where I belong, where I home. Amen. Jesus, that we thank you that we get to go home. We get to be with you. This world is not the end. It's not our home. And so, Lord, we thank you that this world is the closest to hell that we'll ever be. We thank you, Jesus. We look forward to just celebrating this time of Advent, of your birth. And just pray for the world to know you, Jesus, that people would come into a relationship with you even during this Christmas season. We love you, Jesus, and we love to sing your praises, and we lift them up to you and pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Will you rise for the benediction? If you'll bow your heads. May you walk in the Spirit, experiencing the fullness of the joy of the Lord, shining as a light in a lost world, standing firm in your faith, testifying to your family, friends, and community by your love for God and for others. May your fellowship with the Holy Spirit and your ability to hear the voice of our great shepherd and your daily transformation to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus overflow in you in every moment until you see him face to face and eternally see him in all of his glory to forever enter into his rest. And all God's people said, amen. Have a wonderful and victorious week in Jesus.